Without question, when the term God came up, there's no doubt what came into the mind of Jesus. Whenever the word God, the term God was mentioned, he thought of Father. How about you and me? When we think about God, certainly one of the first things that ought to come to our mind is that God is a good, good Father. When we think about our Father, you are the child of a kind, loving Father who wants to guide you in the way. He wants to provide what you need during the journey. And He wants to keep you safe and protected as you trust in Him and His love. He wants to get you home all the way to heaven, all the way to glory. When I think about fathers, happy Father's Day, those of you who are fathers. When I think about fathers, and this always amazes me, every father ought to be a miniature picture of the Heavenly Father. You talk about a humbling and overwhelming responsibility. But by God's grace, we can etch into the souls, the hearts of our families, something really precious about who God is and what God is like. When you talk about fathers, fathers need to be present. You have to be present. A person can biologically become a father without ever having a presence in the lives of his children. Secondly, a person who's a father needs to provide for his own. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, he that provides not for his own is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. You think about that. Another fact about a father is that he protects. He protects. He makes sure that his family is kept safe. But lastly, a father is a peacemaker. He makes sure that the peace is kept, and he makes peace when there's strife and conflict. Think about these words, which all of us have probably heard. Wait until your father gets home. We know that he is going to keep the peace and he's going to make peace. The Sermon on the Mount is all about the Father. Sadly, that's too easily neglected, but the Sermon on the Mount is all about our Father. 17 times He is specifically referred to in the three chapters that make up the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I encourage you to open your Bibles to that passage. 17 times. It's the pulse, it's the heartbeat of the entire Sermon on the Mount. God as Father is the theme. And the fact that we have a relationship with Him. And that we can have a glorious one. I'm going to move quickly, but 10 truths about the Father from the Sermon on the Mount. And when you think about the fact that the Father is mentioned 17 times, that's almost as many times in this one sermon as in the entire Old Testament. Rather infrequently, God is called Father in the Old Testament, but in this one sermon, over 5 times per chapter. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5 and verse 16. The first of these truths about our Father, all about our Father. When you look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, all we say and do should reflect our Father's honor and glory. All we say and do should reflect our Father's honor and glory. In a passage devoted to Christian influence, how we ought to be salt and light, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. The purpose, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Oh, friends, how we need to get the point that we say what we say and we do what we do because we want to reflect something of the honor and praise of our Heavenly Father. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. And what we say and what we do should show something of the abundant life that Jesus, His Son, came to give us, John 10 and verse 10. Good fathers make their presence felt. Salt and light make their presence felt. But as God's children, we make our presence felt so that people will reflect on our Father. Number two, look in your Bibles, if you would, at Matthew 5, 43 through 45. This was part of our scripture reading, Matthew 5, 43 through 45. Loving those who are hard to love, especially our enemies, displays the Father's love. Loving those who are hard to love, especially our enemies, displays the Father's love. And Jesus doesn't get long into this sermon without emphasizing this. I suspect in every family there's at least somebody that's pretty hard to love. I suspect in every family there's been some strife or conflict that's gotten to such a degree, such an extent, it's gone to such a point that it's like war. To love those whose attitudes and actions are not all that lovable, even our enemies. By this passage, put down in your Bibles Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. And think of the love of God that has been demonstrated to us. Because when you get to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, notice how we are described. We all like to think of ourselves as lovable. We all like to think of ourselves as being people who love God. But when you look at Romans 5, verses 6 through 11, it's very humbling. It says we were without strength. Verse 6. It says we were ungodly. It says in verse 8 that we were sinners. And then it goes on to say in verse 10 that we were enemies. When you think about the whole concept of salvation, a lot of people think that they're already good moral people when the Bible says one is weak, ungodly, one is a sinner, and one is an enemy of God. Imagine shaking your fist in the God of all creation's face, in the Heavenly Father's face, and saying, I don't want your presence. I don't want your presence in my life. Not really. I want your provision. And I'd like to have some peace. But I don't want you. Third passage to examine. Look, if you will, at Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 48, what the sermon tells us about our Father. How to love the people that are less lovable and how to love even our enemies. That's displaying the Father's love. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, be perfect even as he who called you is perfect. To be like him is our greatest and most sincere desire. To be like him is our greatest and our most sincere desire. Look at verses 21 through 48. It is kind of easy for us to say, oh, I want to be like Jesus. We can sing an old hymn like, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. We can sing a song like that. But in the context of which our Lord is speaking of the Father, look at verses 21 through 48. Consider first of all verses 21 to 26. I want to be like the Heavenly Father, my Father, in the way I deal with anger. That's verses 21 through 26. Some unusually fine men really stumble here, don't they? Think of Moses and striking the rock in the book of Numbers. To be angry at the right time, in the right way, with the right spirit, at the right person, can be very challenging. Look at verses 27 through 30. In my desires, lust is the term in most translation. In my desires, I want my anger to reflect my Father when I'm angry and the way that I'm angry. I want my desires to reflect my Heavenly Father. And not things that are sinful and base and worldly and shallow and damning. And then notice verses 31 and 32. He speaks of fidelity in marriage. I want my faithfulness in my relationship to reflect something of the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the kindness of God. Look at verses 33 through 37, and it has to do with our communication. It has to do with our speech. It has to do with our words. Be perfect, even as he who called you is perfect. I want to reflect him in everything. The most sincere desire I can have is to be godly, to reflect God in my words and heart and life, my actions. How about your words? Do words come out of your mouth that you know would never come out of our Father's mouth? Continue looking at this passage. 38 through 42, non-retaliation. I want to be like the Father. I want to reflect my Father, my Heavenly Father, by not sinfully retaliating against someone who has treated me wrong. Do not return evil for evil, but return evil with good, Romans chapter 12 says. Verses 43 through 48, love. Hateful words, hateful actions do not reflect the character of our good, good Father. That's just chapter 5. A fourth truth is seen In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Matthew 6 verse 1. Here's the truth about God. Motives matter to our Father. Motives matter to our Father. Righteousness is an inside-out job. The idea that righteousness is an outside thing is of Satan, outside only. Righteousness is an inside-out job. Philippians 3:9, not having a righteousness that is my own, but a righteousness that is out of God through faith. And so what's going to happen in the context of Matthew chapter 6 is this. Jesus is saying motives matter, so sincerity and purity of motive is crucial to a righteousness that's inside out. And that brings me to a fifth truth. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Consider verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18. Jesus takes in this sermon three aspects of religious service, of devotion to God. And he reveals that each of them and others can be twisted. They can be distorted because motives are askew. Motives are completely wrong. If you desire to be applauded and approved by others, you may get that, he says in verse 1. But that's all you'll get. But when you talk about this, he deals with giving, he deals with praying, he deals with fasting, three actions of religious devotion, and how each can be twisted when we're not sincere. And when you look at those particular passages, verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And the idea, quite simply, is this. Every act of religious devotion is done to please Him. Our aim, our goal, our aspiration is to be pleasing to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. Other people may see it, but even then we want them to reflect on the fact that we're just showing something about the greatness of the Father and they honor and praise Him. Giving can be distorted when we do it to be seen of men. Praying can be distorted when we do it to be seen and applauded by men. Because we desire somebody to come up and say, hey, you did a wonderful job. We ought to encourage each other and build each other up in the faith. That's not the issue. But we need to keep in mind that motives matter to God. And then you think about fasting and this voluntary staying away from food because I want to focus on holy purposes and then at the same time advertising it to everybody what we're doing. Something about that cheapens the act. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12, our Lord is mindful. He will not forget acts of service and religious devotion that are motivated by sincerity and love. Other people may never see it, other people may never know it, but the Lord sees and knows. George Prickett, a longtime member of this congregation, passed away and his funeral was Friday. One of the sons, he had two, the younger of the sons gave me a letter concerning a lady in this congregation, a sister that on many occasions prepared food for the family. Won't mention her name, because God knows who she is. But the family was extremely thankful that because of her faithfulness, they could be with their loved one, George, and by his bedside, and didn't worry so much about food preparation. Little things can become big things when little things are done for the Lord. To whom much is given, much is required, but to be faithful in little things is to be faithful in much. Luke 12 and verse 48. Number 6. Looking at Matthew chapter 6 here, consider verses 9 through 13. What is the truth about the Father revealed in Matthew 6, 9 through 13? Prayer is Father-focused. Prayer is Father-focused. When we think of prayer, we often think of it as master-servant, sovereign subject. And that's true. God is the King. But we also need to think of it especially as Father-child. And notice how he begins the prayer of example. Our. Not exclusively mine. Ours. Our Father. Prayer is communicating with our Father about how important His name is, how important His kingdom is, and how important His will is, and how desperately we need His provision, our Father's provision, how desperately we need our Father's forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How desperately we need our Father's guidance. Lead us not into temptation. How desperately we need our Father's deliverance and protection. Deliver us from evil. And in this model prayer, this prayer of example, it all revolves around the Father. And through Jesus Christ, we can come with boldness to the throne of God's grace and find grace and mercy in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16, number 7. Look in your Bible, if you will, at Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Here's a truth about our Father. Our forgiveness from the Father must impact our willingness to forgive others. Our forgiveness from the Father must impact our desire to extend forgiveness to others. From Him, forgiveness. To Him, others. To Him, others, I'm going to be forgiving. I'll forgive others. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. There is something about Matthew 6, 13 and 14 that ought to make everybody think in this context. Our desire to be forgiven by God when we've done wrong ought to be strong, strong and powerful. Our desire to forgive others ought to be strong and powerful too. Is it? Look at Matthew 6, 25 through 34. This is number 8. And here's the truth about the Father. Anxiety overwhelms us when we don't know the Father, trust the Father, or tend to forget the greatness of the Father. Anxiety tends to overwhelm us when we don't know the Father, trust the Father. And what I'm talking about here is this. Some of us do mighty good trusting the Father as long as we think we're in control of a lot of things in our life. Amen to that? But when we realize how little we are in control of our lives, then anxiety can just overwhelm us. Anxiety overwhelms us when we don't know the Father, when we don't trust the Father, or when we tend to forget the greatness of our Father because we make the circumstances big. There's no circumstance bigger than our Heavenly Father. Our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46 and verse 1. He is the God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. In the earthly course of things, even if you have the best father on earth, that's what He is. He is an earthly father. And at the very best level, all an earthly father can do is so reflect Jesus that it leaves a great impact on His family. But that earthly father will leave this scene. But you will never go where your heavenly Father cannot walk with you. And we sing, each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. He's leading the way. The shepherd is taking us to the Father. It's said in this passage, in verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34, do not be anxious, do not worry. And then it talks about our Father. Number 9, look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. This truth about the Father. Our Father gives good gifts. Be confident in that. Our Father gives good gifts. Be confident in that. He cares for us. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. What we ask in His name we receive if it's in His will. 1 John chapter 5 verses 13 and 14. What a great and awesome Father God is. Not only does He give us what we ask for that's within His will, He gives us more than we ask or think, doesn't He? Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Finally, look at Matthew 7, 21 through 27. This is the 10th truth. Relating properly to our Father involves attitude and action. Relating properly to our Heavenly Father involves attitude and action. In 21 through 23, you have what sounds like right attitudes. In your name, Lord, Lord. But the Lord knows better. You have what sounds like right actions. In your name, done many wonderful works. But the Lord knows better. Attitude and actions. And then in verses 24 through 27, you have people who hear what Jesus says and they build. And one builds according to what they've heard, and one builds their life not at all in accordance with what they've heard from Jesus. Wrong attitude, wrong actions. We have one group that's at camp, a couple of groups that are at camp this week, one that just returned in the last couple of days. And I'm sure at some point during these camps, this song is sung from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within me. That's how the sermon ends. One day, we will give an account for our attitude and our actions at the judgment seat of Christ, with the Father Himself bearing witness. Think about this. Two observations as we close. Turn to Matthew 5, verse 9. Matthew 5, 9. We briefly touched on this at an earlier point in our study this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children, the sons of God. Our Father is a peace giver. He is the God of peace. Romans 15:30. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. He gives a peace that the world neither knows nor understands, John 14 and verse 27. And we have, because of God's grace and because of our faith in what He's provided in Jesus, access. We have peace with God and access to God. If you, because of sin, are not right with God, you talk about a family problem. You talk about a problem with your father. I cannot count the number of times over the years that I've had to deal with people who had father issues. But I'll tell you what, if you've got an issue with the Heavenly Father, the issue is with you and not with Him. And in this assembly, surely there's somebody that needs to make their life right with their father as his son or daughter, child. Maybe through faith, repentance, and baptism, having one's sins washed away, trusting in Jesus, looking for a great relationship with the Father. Think about this aspect. Jesus died that we could have peace with God. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. He made peace by the blood of His cross. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And then consider this. Consider who preached this sermon. The one who has so much to say about the Father is uniquely qualified to talk to us about how awesome He is. because he can perfectly relate to him, even as he can perfectly relate to us as humans. Don't shake your fist in defiance of the Father, because at the same time, you're also shaking your fist in defiance of the Son and of the Holy Spirit Himself. Oh, what a Father. Let us stand and sing.